This is a podcast from RTE Radio 1.
And the following is the result.
The first count in Galway West.
And it's not easy. Election counts aren't easy for any candidate.
The total poll, 49,944. Boyle votes, 478.
I deem them to be elected.
Hello and welcome to The Constituency. This week the focus is on a new constituency, the four-seater Longford West Meath. The amalgamation brings with it four sitting TDs and a lengthy list of other hopefuls. We'll be assessing their prospects and we'll also be looking in detail at the burning issues in the constituency. But first, Michael O'Regan, who's the parliamentary correspondent with the Irish Times, has been looking at the factors behind the bringing together of the two Midlands counties.
Well, in the reorganisation, the redrawing of the constituencies, you have Longford-Roscommon broken up and you have Longford brought in with the old Westmeath constituency. In fact, going back to a constituency that existed in previous times. So it's a realignment, a geographical realignment, obviously with political implications.
As we've been hearing throughout the series, there are quite a number of constituency changes this time, and after this election, there will almost certainly be quite a few more.
Yes, there will. And in fact, there will be quite a significant realignment of constituencies from what I gather after the next election. For instance, a number of counties could become single constituencies. Not least, for instance, there's a strong possibility that Kerry South and Kerry North could become a five-seater. Now, that would have huge implications locally. Somebody would have to go there of the existing TDs. And there will be changes elsewhere. And inevitably, with the growth of Dublin, you'll have changes as well. So post this election, you could have quite a different political landscape for the subsequent election, assuming it lasts the 5 years, the government lasts the 5 years.
A word about Westmeath. It brought us one of the big stories of 2002.
This will be a battle royal between Mary O'Rourke and Donny Cassidy for what will be the second seat in the second Fianna Fáil seat in Longford Westmeath. Peter Kelly will take a seat, Longford based Peter Kelly. Then you'll have a battle, as I say, between Mary O'Rourke and Donny Cassidy. And this battle is daily, it's ongoing, it's tough. In the last election, in the Westmeath constituency, Fianna Fáil operated a highway political act. They thought they might get two out of the three. They didn't. What happened was Fianna Fáil retained a seat, but Donny Cassidy replaced Mary O'Rourke. And Mary O'Rourke was appointed at the Shannon by the Taoiseach, and she put the head down first day and decided that she was going to win back this Dáil seat come the next election. Strange precedence here, actually. Way back in the early 70s, her brother, the late Brian Lenehan, lost a seat down in Roscommon, subsequently won a seat back in Dublin. But this will be a battle royal, as I say, between Mary O'Rourke and Donny Cassidy. No prisoners taken. As of now, Mary O'Rourke is emerging as a very strong contender to win back her seat.
Michael O'Regan of the Irish Times. Of the two counties, Westmeath has by far the greater population, with almost 80,000 people. Its population is more than twice that of Longford. There is one other complication. A small part of Westmeath is actually in the Meath West constituency, and that does have electoral implications, as we'll hear later. Damien O'Reilly has been testing the mood in both counties. In Westmeath, he looked at the changing nature of the rural vote.
The agri industry, directly or indirectly, implies nearly a quarter of a million people.
The Mullingar Park Hotel was the setting at the beginning of the month for a rural development conference organised by Chagask. It's a sign of the times when the State Farm Advisory Body is engaged in a conference which is aimed at giving farmers alternatives to farming. Over half of all farmers in Ireland are now part-time. County Westmeath is typical of this. It has 2,900 farmers and 1,600 of those are part-time. 80% of them are dry stock farmers, so they have more time to work off-farm also. Gerry Scully is head of Chagask Rural Development and he was chief organiser of the Mullingar Conference.
We're very strongly encouraging farmers to look at the whole area of diversification, and I think particularly the younger generation have much more confidence in that area. You see, they've never known this country without full and plenty. You know, anybody under 30 years of age, we've had virtually full employment during their lifetimes. So they have more confidence about branching out, about taking risks. they're, you know, more confident about borrowing money, and because they come from a different generation. That's not casting any aspersions on the previous generation, but I think there are opportunities all around us. You know, and you know, how do people make money? How are business people successful? They're successful at spotting the opportunities. Farmers are very good at spotting opportunities, and I suppose we, as an organisation, say to them, look, you need to continuously look and keep looking out there because there are opportunities.
Over the coming months, politicians knocking on farm doors in County Westmeath will hear the usual complaints to do with red tape in farming and the difficulties of getting planning permission for family members who wish to build on the farm land. But farmers also share the concerns of non-farmers on issues like public services and childcare. Here's Dr. Cathal O'Donoghue, head of the Teagasc Rural Economic Research Centre.
With more and more farmers working part-time, more and more people living in rural Ireland working outside the farming sector, and the issues in rural areas become similar to urban areas. But there is an added issue, with living in areas of low population density, lower access to services, huge proportions now commuting into the towns, that the old issues related to the prices of commodities and so on are relevant to the farming component. With half of farmers working, and their spouses working, and their children commuting, the pressures on their lives through commuting, the pressures they face through access to maybe healthcare or childcare. You know, if you have a farm, let's say, working in the evening, commuting into town for a job, your spouse is doing the same. You've got to drop your kids off to childcare. There are the same kind of issues as urban areas.
In the past 6 years, the number of farmers in Westmeath has declined by 500. Traditionally, farmers did not sell land, too much like pawning the family jewels. But that sentimentality is disappearing fast, particularly in light of the good land prices to be got all over Ireland. Here's auctioneer Robert Ganley of Ganley Walters.
Yes, it's happening all over Ireland. I don't think any more in Westmeath than any other county, but there are a lot of large farms in Westmeath and there are a lot of small farms, so there's a large number of landowners in this particular county.
And what sort of money are they getting for their land?
Well, last year, land in the region, which is based on our annual survey, was at €17,000 per acre average. We're now looking at about €20,000 per acre average, depending on location, etc. That would be a nationwide average. Obviously, different locations have slightly different prices.
60% of the population of Westmeath live in rural areas, but this is changing with big housing developments in many towns dotted along the Dublin Athlone motorway. Dermot Levy is a retired dairy farmer and now involved with rural development in the county.
In Westmeath now, what has happened is there's been a huge development of people moving down to the fringes. You know, the towns like our own town of Kinnegad, Rochbridge, Killoucan, all these places have had an influx of people from the city and from elsewhere building there. So you have a whole change of structure of rural settlement.
And that means then that land prices are getting more expensive?
It does, yeah. It does, of course. Yeah, it does. It does. From that point of view, it does, yeah. But it also changes the whole rural fabric, and it is important to try and integrate, you know, rather than just have dormitory towns.
Dermot Levy ending that report from Damien O'Reilly. Now, for many years, Longford was dominated by one political figure, but Albert Reynolds has long since retired. And as Damien has been finding out, people in Longford feel they have suffered through having no representative at the cabinet table.
I wish to announce to the Dáil that I intend, following this statement, to go to Áras an Uachtaráin to tender my resignation as Taoiseach and that of my ministers to the President.
10:30 a.m, November 17th, 1994. The moment that Albert Reynolds resigned as Taoiseach following the collapse of the Fianna Fáil coalition with Labour. For the first time for the best part of 20 years, Longford was without a state Mercedes. Before his arrival at the office of Taoiseach, Albert Reynolds had served in several ministries, including finance. He had been elected to the Dáil in 1977. And like any constituency with a minister, Longford was seen to have benefited from Albert's high office. But did the good times come to an end for Longford on that fateful day in 1994? Seamus Duke has been a journalist in Longford for over 15 years.
I'd say there's no doubt about that. It was prior to the Celtic Tiger, and there's no doubt about it that when Albert Reynolds was Taoiseach, it drew an awful lot of attention to Longford. And Longford was always, a very busy town, a great market town, a good business town. But, I would still say in terms of an election that there's definitely a Fianna Fáil seat there in Longford. They may not be as strong as they were at Fianna Fáil, but still the Albert Reynolds legacy will live on for a long time, I'd say.
Seamus Butler is managing director of his own business, Butler Engineering, in Longford. He's also a former president of the local Chamber of Commerce in Longford, and he's a serving Fianna Fáil County Councillor. He knows more than most about the legacy left by Albert Reynolds and the perceived downturn to local business once he stepped down from high office.
Well, inevitably, I think an area like Longford would suffer, having had the Taoiseach here in the constituency. There was a down drop of activity. It took a while to catch back up, and really it was only around the early 2000s, 2001, 2002, that we started catching up.
But while locals will have mourned the retirement of Albert Reynolds, things are moving on and up again for Longford. Here's Seamus Duke once again.
Longford Town has done well and has done poorly in equal measure. It's very similar to most big provincial towns in the country. There's a lot of employment here. Service industries have grown hugely. And if you go up the Ballymahon Road there, or up beside the Pierce Park there at the Dublin Roads, at the end of the bypass, it's absolutely phenomenal development of all sorts of businesses and employment. Nevertheless, Cardinal Health was supposed to come and create 1,400 jobs. That did not happen, and there was an awful lot of consternation about that. However, it has to be said that Abbott are now there. They're recruiting at the moment, and it's hopeful that they'll create between 600 and 800 jobs. So, it's a bit like the cure. It's good in parts. There's been a very successful decentralisation to this town. The Department of Social Welfare up and running, and a parts of the community for a long number of years. Now, there's a planned decentralisation of the prison service, and it remains to be seen, like a lot of the other decentralisation, it remains to be seen how successful that's going to be, and that will probably be an issue coming up to the general election. And of course, health, the whole health area, that is probably the biggest single issue around Longford at the moment.
I think there's an awful lot of scaremongering about health. The Midlands Regional Hospital in Mullingar, Longford West Meath, does very well on virtually all the scores, and we have delivered in that phase 2B is now being fitted out, and that will improve services. But the current figures, I think they're on testmyhospital.com or whatever. The Midlands Regional Hospital in Mullingar does very well, both in A&E, and I've had, unfortunately, personal experience over the last 18 months with a very close sick relative going through A&E and going through the services in Mullingar, and I must say, I think they're top class.
I have taken this decision for the good of the country, in the interest of stability, and in particular to ensure the continuation of the peace process.
Is it as big a thing as it was years ago to have a minister in your constituency?
I think there's more transparency in politics nowadays, and ministers have a kind of collegiate responsibility for the whole country, not just for their own constituency. They're not a cabinet representing their constituency, they're representing the whole country.
Many of their constituents mightn't quite see it like that, though. Seamus Butler there ending that report from Damien O'Reilly. So a wide range of issues and a long list of candidates. With me are two regional newspaper editors. Dave O'Connell is group editor of the Westmeath Examiner, and Sheila Riley is the editor of the Longford Leader. Dave, before we look at the contenders, let's start with a little more talk about the issues. As we've already heard, Westmeath is one of those places that's become increasingly urbanised. It's changed quite a lot.
Completely, and particularly without confusing people altogether, the eastern part of Westmeath, where you talk about towns like Kilbeggan and Rochford Bridge and Kinnegad, Tyrrell's Pass, areas like that, huge influx of primarily Dublin people whose votes we've not tracked. They haven't voted there before. We don't know, will they vote this time? If they do, who will they vote for? And clearly you can see from the canvassing that has gone on already for several months that in particular the two Westmeath Fianna Fáil candidates, the four, Donny Cassidy and Mary O'Rourke, see that as a key battleground.
Sheila, listening to that piece of tape, there's obviously quite a bit of discontent in some parts of Longford. What in your experience are the big issues?
Well, the big issues in Longford at the moment, primarily, I think it's going to come down to geography as such at the end of the day, and that is how people in Longford are going to vote. They're going to vote, number one, for Longford. However, I think that if you consider it, they'll vote county loyalty first, party loyalty second, and possibly the issues of the day third. In Longford at the minute, there's health, crime, infrastructure, rural development, particularly the lack of broadband services. And I presume there are issues that are affecting every rural county in the country at the minute.
Dave, would you say that that will follow through to Westmeath, that Westmeath people will vote Westmeath?
Well, I suppose they will. I mean, one of the problems with this is that while it's in theory a four-seater, all parties appear to agree it's a three-seater because Willie Penrose is guaranteed one of the seats. So
this is Willie Penrose of the Labour Party, who's an extraordinary vote-getter.
Extraordinary vote-getter and extremely popular across all parties. I mean, everybody acknowledges that he's almost certain he's going to top the poll. So really after that, it's a 2-1 split in terms of counties, and it's how that 2-1 split goes. But you're right, I mean, in the same way, as Sheila says, things like childcare, things like commuting, all of that is of huge relevance. Health always as well. But geography more than anything else will determine who wins these seats.
Of course, Sheila, if this were to fall along a strict population basis, 3 out of 4 of the TDs would be Westmeath based.
That is true, Rachel. Longford will have to seriously punch above its weight to get 2 sitting TDs back in the Dáil next time around. However, it's worth bearing in mind that the last time out, Longford people, 92% of first time votes cast in Longford were for Longford candidates. And when May Sexton was elected, she was elected on the strength of Fine Gael Louis Belton's transfers. He was a Longford TD. He was knocked out. 66% of his transfers went to May Sexton the last time around. So there you see a clear case of Longford people voting for Longford. If that happens next time out, you could see 2 TDs from Longford back in the fold.
And there's also, I was going to say, Rachel, there's almost 3 constituencies in this, because North West Meath and South West Meath traditionally wouldn't vote, they wouldn't cross over that. And the last time out, all 3 seats went to the northern part of the county. As we know, Mary O'Rourke didn't get her seat last time. And for many people, the great battle in this is between Donny Cassidy and Mary O'Rourke as to which of them, if not both of them, as a very outside bet, get a seat.
As we've heard, and as you mentioned there, there are 2 sitting Fianna Fáil TDs going into this contest, but there's also Mary O'Rourke, who lost her seat the last time.
Well, this is it. Now, Donny Cassidy is one hell of a political fighter, and he will not give up without a fight. It's well recorded that Mary O'Rourke would have some disenchantment within her own ranks at the Athlone end of the county, and certainly there will be some canvassing at that end for Donny Cassidy. But you have to say it would seem as though the seat is Mary's to lose rather than Donny's to win.
Donny Cassidy is in a bit of a bind himself, yeah, because part of his base is gone. As I think he said himself when the Boundary Review Committee reported, yeah, if they had deliberately tried to scupper his vote, they couldn't have done a better job.
Well, they couldn't, but there's a phrase that's well known in Longford politics about the country and western vote. I think Albert used to use it many times. Donny is using all of his old band contacts to try and see if he can make an impression on the other side of the county. As I say, you know, geographically, he seems that he's in a lot of trouble. He's not even within the constituency himself anymore, but you really would bet against him, you know, at your peril.
Sheila, we haven't really mentioned the third Fianna Fáil candidate. He's also a sitting TD, Peter Kelly.
Absolutely. Peter Kelly is based in Longford town. He's a huge vote getter himself. Last time out, he polled 7,000 first preference votes. It's very hard to see that Peter Kelly wouldn't be elected next time out.
Now, Dave, Fine Gael have 3 candidates. They have Nicky McFadden and Peter Burke in Westmeath, and they have Senator James Bannon in Longford, because, of course, the sitting Fine Gael TD in the Westmeath constituency, Paul McGrath, is retiring.
Yeah, and Nicky McFadden did very well last time out, and at the very least, she's credited with taking away Mary O'Rourke's seat because she polled so well in that southern part of Westmeath. Now, equally, James Bannon is somebody who is not to be underestimated. Peter Burke was added to the ticket as the third candidate, and that's not to dismiss his chances, but really,
the kind of sweeper.
He really is. And I mean, Nicky McFadden has done very well in terms of local elections and in terms of the national election last time out. She has to be, I guess, the preferred candidate if there is to be a third seat within Westmeath. Equally, if Longford is looking at taking a second seat, James Bannon is in the shake-up.
Now, Sheila, May Sexton, she'll be running again for the Progressive Democrats. She confounded quite a few pundits in 2002. A lot of people gave her no chance at all.
Absolutely. May Sexton really came out of nowhere in a lot of people's minds to take that seat. However, you know, she has a great political pedigree, if you like, comes from a very well-established political family, and she was a long-standing, hard-working councillor over the years in Longford, so she had built up a fairly strong base locally. Last time around, she benefited a lot from the Longford vote, as I mentioned earlier. She also benefited a lot from the female vote. I think when Una Quinn, the hospital candidate in Roscommon, was knocked out, May Sexton got a lot of her transfers. So it'll be interesting to see if that female vote will come into play next time out for May.
Dave, Sinn Féin are running Paul Hogan. He's an Athlone town councillor.
He's a first-time elected Athlone town councillor. He ran in the last general election and did quite well. And there's no doubt that there is a Sinn Féin vote. Now, it will play a part rather than anything else in this time. It's a growing vote. Paul is... next year will be the mayor of Athlone, so he's somebody certainly to watch for the future. But going back to the PDs and Mae Sexton, I mean, I think the PDs' efforts to get a running mate at the Westmeath end of the county told its own story. They failed to do that. They tried some very high-profile people, didn't get one. Mae Sexton's a hugely able politician, but really, I think it's where her vote goes this time that will determine the seats rather than her holding her seat.
Sheila, quite a few other names have been mentioned in Longford as possible contenders. We have, for a start, Marie Carthy, the sister of John Carthy, who was shot dead by Gardaí in Abilara. She may run as an independent.
Yeah, Marie Carthy is considering running. That's a certainty that she's considering it at the moment. Now, as it stands, we don't know whether she is going to run or not. Now, Marie is held in very high regard and high esteem throughout the length and breadth of the country, really. And she would be located in a good area in Longford. She's in North Longford. There isn't really any candidates from that area. However, it would be very difficult to see her making any impact in the vote.
What are the other names then doing the rounds at the moment?
Well, there's Fine Gael councillor Frank Kilbride, well-known businessman, hotelier, developer, DJ, manager of Declan Nairne.
I would have thought that was a full-time job in itself.
He's a Longford version of Dodie Cassidy.
And there has been some distancing, I suppose, between himself and Fine Gael in recent months. And Kilbride has put out a few feelers that he's considering running as an independent. Now, whether or not that comes to pass, he could certainly be a nuisance for them on the ground if that were to happen.
Dave, any others to add to the list?
No, I think we've more than enough to be getting on with. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's fairly much decided at the Westmeath end of the county. And I mean, the big battle, as I've said, Mary O'Rourke and Donie Cassidy for that one Fianna Fáil seat, that is an election within itself.
Right, we're going to take it probably then for a start that Willie Penrose is going to win a seat.
And we can take it that Peter Kelly is going to win a seat.
So where do things go from there?
Well, I think it probably breaks down as it's not rocket science to say there's a Fianna Fáil seat in Westmeath. It's where that one goes is the question. And the Fine Gael seat is between James Bannon and Nicky McFadden. But the notion of Fine Gael taking two seats is, I think, absolutely out of the question. So it's two Fianna Fáil, one Fine Gael and one Labour.
Right. And would you care to put names on them then?
Without going to the bookies, it will be Willie Penrose, it will be Mary O'Rourke, it will be Peter Kelly, and at an outside, and maybe this is my Westmeath hat, Nicky McFadden.
Sheila, would you go along with that?
No, I couldn't really. Of course I couldn't. I would have to say I would agree with Willie Penrose without a doubt. Peter Kelly for definite. I think James Bannon may shade it for Nicky McFadden, and I wouldn't like to predict the fourth one, to be honest.
But it does sound as though you're both saying that Mae Sexton is unlikely to hold on here.
She has a huge challenge ahead of her, there's no doubt about it. However, she is an absolute dogged political fighter. You know, she is determined. She fought the last time for the seat. She says she's going to fight this time for it. The one thing I wonder about Mae Sexton is, realistically, the PDs have 8 TDs in the Dáil at the moment. They are at 1% in the polls. Can they afford to walk away from a seat in Longford Westmeath?
But equally, certainly at the Westmeath end of the county, there is no infrastructure. There's no grassroots. She will struggle very hard to make an impression there. And she needs to get something from that side of the constituency, or I think she's gone.
Absolutely, I'd agree with that. And that's where I would think maybe if the female vote comes into play. Other than that, she has a very steep hill to climb now.
Sheila Riley and Dave O'Connell, thank you both very much for joining us this evening. Well, that's all we have for you this week. The next programme is in 2 weeks' time because the rugby is on next week. Thanks for listening.